I invite you to take a Bible and turn to Ruth chapter 2. There are pew Bibles provided for you if you didn't bring one, and Ruth 2 is found on page 283 in the pew Bibles. There's a song that I've learned and heard much over the last several years. It's by Sovereign Grace Music. It's entitled In the Valley. And it's from an album entitled Valley of Vision, which is based, its song's based on a book of Puritan prayers called The Valley of Vision. This song, In the Valley, is one that I can identify with. It talks about how we go through dark days, difficulties. Here are the words. When you lead me to the valley of vision, I can see you in the heights. And though my humbling wouldn't be my decision, it's here your glory shines so bright. So let me learn that the cross precedes the crown. To be low is to be high. That the valley's where you make me more like Christ. And the chorus goes, let me find your grace in the valley. Let me find your life in my death. Let me find your joy in my sorrow, your wealth in my need, that you're near with every breath in the valley. It's a second verse in particular, the opening words that I like. In the daytime, there are stars in the heavens, but they only shine at night. And the deeper that I go, that I go into darkness, the more I see their radiant light. So let me learn that my losses are my gain. To be broken is to heal. That the valleys where your power is revealed. Let me find your grace in the valley. Let me find your life in my death. Let me find your joy in my sorrow. Your wealth in my need. That you're near with every breath in the valley. I like that idea that the stars don't just exist at night. But it's against the backdrop of the darkness that we can see them. And that's often the case in our lives. When everything's going fine, we're not nearly as aware of God's grace and mercy towards us as when things are dark. It's then that God's light of grace and mercy shines so bright. We saw in chapter 1 of Ruth that Naomi and Ruth were living during a dark time. A dark time historically for Israel, because it was during the periods of the judges when the judges ruled. And we saw from Judges that this is a period of time when there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was not a holy time. It was not a good time in Israel. It was a dark time for the nation. There was this cycle, repeated cycle of sin and rebellion by the people, followed by judgment by God, followed by repentance, crying out to God, followed by deliverance through one of the judges, followed by, in time, falling away again, sin and rebellion. So it was a dark time historically for the nation, but it was also a dark time for Ruth and Naomi. They had lost husbands. Naomi had lost her husband Elimelech to death, and then later lost her sons, Mahlon and Chilion, who were the husbands of Orpah and Ruth. So it was a dark time, not just for the nation. It was a dark time for these women. But it's against this dark background that the brightness of God's grace, God's mercy, God's favor is seen and appreciated even more. That's what we're going to look at in Ruth chapter 2. Let's pray first. Father, We don't like dark times. Many of us don't like it, even as the fall comes and it gets dark earlier. Lord, we like light. We like light physically, literally. Lord, we like light in our lives. We like good days. We like days of prosperity and very tangible blessings. We like it, Lord, when things are going well, when relationships are good, when life is sweet, when we have few problems. But Lord, that is not the world in which we live, by and large. We live in a world under the curse of sin. And we ourselves, Father, are sinners. Those of us trusting in Christ are redeemed sinners. But still we sin and we reap the consequences. Lord, still as imperfect people, we struggle in relationships. We live in a world that's hostile to the good news of Christ and those who would seek to live it out and proclaim it. There's much darkness in this world. But Father, in the midst of the darkness, there is the light of your grace, the light of your word, the light of your work, your blessings. Lord, we pray that we would see in Naomi and Ruth's experience how you are at work in our lives, even as you were in theirs. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged, to be increased in our faith, to be more confident that indeed you are for us, even in dark days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see three things. First, what we're going to see is, first of all, Ruth found favor. She found favor even in a land that was not her own, a situation that was alien to her. Secondly, we're going to see that Naomi found favor. And then we're going to see that we found favor as well. The title of the devotional challenge is Finding Favor. If you will, follow with me as I read verses 1 through 13 of Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech. That was Naomi's husband, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and she said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law, since the death of your husband, has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repaid you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. This is a tremendous act of kindness on Boaz's part. Boaz was a man of means. He was a man who owned this field. Boaz was not only a man of means, but he was a man, obviously, of godly character. He was, in a sense, fulfilling what the law required. God had provided in his word for people like Ruth and Naomi, had provided for the widows and for the poor, even for the foreigners. In the Old Testament law in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we find where the Lord told his people to leave some of the gleanings in their field for those who needed help. Let me read, if you want to follow along, Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you... Excuse me, I need a drink. Sorry. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to the edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. That is what falls down on the ground. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Lord emphasizing, this is something you must do. Similarly, in chapter 23, verse 22 of Leviticus, and when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. And again, in Deuteronomy, we find this repeated. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 through 22. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. God is a God who delights to show favor. God is a God who delights to provide, especially for the downtrodden, the poor, the helpless, the defenseless. And he commands his people, commanded them in the Old Testament, to be a kind and a gracious people. They didn't always listen. And especially during these days, these dark days, the days of the judges, when every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. But there were some, like Boaz. And Ruth found favor in Boaz's sight. In fact, what do we see here? Boaz went beyond what was required by the law. Now, he certainly met the requirements of the law, but he went above and beyond that. He let her eat some of his food at the break, at the lunchtime, as we're going to see. He told her to stay close to his servants for protection. Why would she need that? If you've ever read the book of Judges, you understand why. It was a wicked time. It was not a safe time. These are supposedly the people of God, and they were the chosen people of God, but there was a lot of wickedness. Why? Because they had forgotten God, and they were living according to their own rules, their own laws. But there were still some who showed kindness, who granted favor. Boaz is a good example to us of how we ought to show kindness, how we ought to show favor, even to people whom perhaps we wouldn't normally do, like a foreigner, someone not like us. Sometimes it's the simplest thing that people need to encourage them. Maybe a kind word, an act of courtesy, or even just a smile. Craig Rose, in his book, Go Small, shares this story. The Golden Gate Bridge connecting the city of San Francisco with Marin County by spanning the Golden Gate Strait is one of our world's most recognizable landmarks. Its red, wiry structure is a remarkable symbol of connectivity, of the feats that humans can achieve through collaboration and intelligence. It's also the second most popular destination in the world for people to kill themselves. Roughly once every 2 weeks, a person caught in a dark web of isolation, depression, and hopelessness chooses to climb over the protective guardrails and jump, plummeting a total of 250 feet down, down into the cold waters of the strait. When they reach the bottom, they're traveling roughly 75 miles per hour. Most people die upon impact. There was a suicide note collected a few years ago that was written by an anonymous person as they made their way to the Golden Gate Bridge. The writer remarked that he was walking to the bridge with the intent of ending his life. But one sentence of the note immediately leapt out at me. If one person smiles at me on the way, this person wrote, I will not jump. He jumped. To the lack of a smile from anyone. Ruth found more than a smile. She found grace and favor in a place where maybe it wouldn't have been expected. She was a foreigner. We never know when an act of kindness, granting favor to others, might not just make their day, might save their life. The second thing we see is not only did Ruth find favor, Naomi found favor. Let me pick up in verse 14 and read through the end of the chapter. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed to her roasted grain and she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned and it was about an ephah of barley. That's a good bit, just so you know. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close to me, to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. For the first time since the opening verses of this brief book, Naomi has hope. She recognizes that Ruth has been blessed. The Lord has led her to the right spot, to the right field, to the right man. Because not only was Boaz kind to her, not only did Ruth find favor, but Boaz, Ruth knew, was a relative. What is called a kinsman redeemer. Now, in the Old Testament, the kinsman redeemer was a near relative who had the ability or responsibility when a family maybe fell into dire straits and, for instance, had to sell their property, lost it. The kinsman, the nearest relative, was the first one who had the right and responsibility to buy that. So it would stay in the family to redeem it. And he would also receive often things that went with it, other things. As we're going to see when we get later into the story, what went with it would be Ruth, as well as the physical property, the opportunity to take Ruth as a wife. Naomi knows this. She knows the word of God. She knows the practice. And she lights up. She now has hope because God has not only shown favor to Ruth, God is showing favor to Naomi. But Boaz's kindness to Ruth was also kindness to Naomi. She would benefit as much as Ruth, perhaps even more, because Boaz's actions not only provided food, they rescued her from despair. When she returned from Moab, would you remember what she told those who greeted her? When they said, "Oh, it's Naomi," she said, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Almighty has dwelt bitterly with me." Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. Naomi went out pleasant, lost her husband and her sons. She comes back bitter. But now she has hope because God is showing favor to her. Hope is at least as great a need as food is. Gary Phillips in the Holman Old Testament commentary writes this about the hope that Naomi has. Naomi recognized in Boaz's kind actions more than Ruth did, and probably more than Boaz did. For the first time, possibly in more than a decade, Naomi had some measure of hope, anchored in the blessings of the covenant Lord. So while Ruth was thinking barley, Naomi was thinking bride. While Ruth was thinking bread, Naomi was thinking wedding cake. While Ruth was thinking grain, Naomi was thinking grandma. Naomi knew the possibilities. She knew that this was not only God showing favor to Ruth through Boaz, but also potentially showing favor to her. Naomi's circumstances were beginning to change a little bit. But guess what? Guess what didn't change? God's purpose and plan. God had this planned all along. God knew and was in control of this. Who led Naomi back to Bethlehem? Who provided a situation where Ruth could meet up with a kinsman redeemer? It was the Lord. God's love and purpose for Naomi had never wavered, even though her faith had. There's a lesson here for us. As difficult as it sometimes is, we must not allow a change in our circumstances to undermine our confidence in God's goodness and grace. How do we respond to difficulty, even extreme difficulty? We are not immune from pain because we belong to the Lord. In fact, sometimes we incur additional pain, right? Because we belong to the Lord. We're not exempt from loss, possessions, jobs, even loved ones. But we must not allow our circumstances to create doubt about God's purpose and plan for us. Ruth found favor. Naomi found favor. And that leads me to say, we too find favor. We find in Ruth's story a picture of us. Not in anything or because of anything that we have done, but because of God's great mercy and grace, we have found favor. Ruth reminds us, first of all, Ruth reminds us of four things. First of all, Ruth reminds us that God's grace is not limited to one nation or race or ethnicity. You know, even though the Jews were God's chosen people, they were chosen not so that everyone else could be excluded, but so that through them, everyone else would be blessed. Peter reminds us, 1 Peter chapter 2, once you were not a people, that's us, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God's grace, God's favor is available to all who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, Ruth reminds us that we are totally dependent on the kindness of another. We are totally dependent on the kindness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And related to that, Ruth reminds us to live humble and grateful lives because daily we receive more than we deserve. Better than we deserve, right? What was the scripture reading, the responsive reading earlier from Titus 3? For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves of various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. By the washing of regeneration, renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ruth reminds us that God's grace is not limited to one people, one ethnicity, one nation. Reminds us that we are totally dependent on the kindness of another, our Lord. Reminds us that we should live humble and grateful lives, whatever our circumstances, because it could be and really should be worse. And then finally, Ruth reminds us that while our circumstances will change, they will change, our God never does. He does not change. His purpose for us does not change. Waver. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you ever find yourself in the valley? Like Naomi? Like Ruth? The question is, have you found favor with God through Jesus Christ? If so, then nothing can separate you from that. God's purpose does not change. Tim Keller, pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church, New York City, reminds us of this. Here's the gospel. You're more sinful than you ever dared believe. You're more loved than you ever dared hope. You're more sinful than you ever dared believe, but you are more loved than you ever dared hope. That is good news. And we want to sing about God's amazing love, how deep the Father's love is for us. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing. Father, we thank you for your work and your word. Lord, we know that there's much more in Ruth and Naomi's story than even what I've shared tonight. But Father, I pray that we would, at the least, see what a great God of grace and mercy you are. That we would see that you're a God who grants favor, not because it's earned or deserved, but because it's your nature. Lord, how wonderful is your love. How deep is your love for us. Receive our praise, our thanks. Help us to not only sing it, but to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.